Whew. Wonderful Jesus. Well, in your bulletin, you have a copy of today's sermon. And I gave you the raw portion of it. Because the deeper portion the Spirit is going to fill in today. But today, we're going to be talking about great faith. Third point. You have over there last week, we saw about little faith. And what is little faith? Is the inability to believe that God will provide for food and clothing. And everything else, including healing. Say what? Little faith is the inability to believe that God will provide the essentials. And you get the scriptures there. Little faith is the inability to believe that God is able to carry you through the storm. Why do you say that? Because he said, no temptation that has come upon you is too big that you can't handle. God will not allow you to be tempted to go through something that you can't handle. Doesn't the Bible say that? But with all the junk, the storm that comes, God's going to show you a way out. So when I don't believe in that, that's called little faith. Now, today I'm supposed to talk about healing faith, but was instructed by the Holy Spirit not to. Today we're going to talk about great faith. Contrary to popular beliefs, if you ask somebody, what do you think great faith is? People are going to say, well, great faith is faith like to move a mountain, to walk upon the water. Actually, it's not. According to Jesus, it is not. So preacher, what is great faith? It's the ability to believe for someone else's healing. Are y'all listening to me now? And this someone else is unable to believe due to sickness or distance and even demon possession. I didn't write that down there because some people would feel offended. But I will say, great faith is the ability to believe for someone else's healing, which is unable to believe due to sickness or distance or demon possession. Why would Jesus call this a great faith? Because it's got to be a double dose. You have to have the faith in you, and then you have to have the faith for somebody else. Then it's not on the Bible. Yes, there is. Let's start with Matthew chapter 8. Brother Harry, can you start in verse 5? And we'll go one by one. Matthew 8, 5 on the New King James. Watch this. And then we're going to just scroll down and go verse by verse. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. One of the greatest elements of great faith is your ability to plead. Are you with me here? Amen. Or to beg God for something. Verse 6, saying, Lord, my servant is laying at home. Wow. Dreadfully, the problem here was the man was paralyzed, and the man was also tormented. So you really have to have some serious faith here. Now, the next verse, verse 7, goes even better. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus is always open to heal people. Y'all know that? Let somebody say, Jesus is always open to heal people. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. You know how that is called? Humility. But only speak. Why is it that we're coming back to speak and we're coming back to word? Did you notice that? Your mouth can play a big role, not only in your healing, but also on the healing of somebody else. on the deliverance of somebody else. But only speak a word. You don't have to say much. Just say one word. Like what? Healed. Jesus said one word, I'll say two. I'm healed. Amen. Just say a word, and my servant will be healed. He is doing everything that one person could do for themselves. The only difference is he is doing on behalf of somebody else. Now, why is he doing this? Because his servant was not only paralyzed, but he was tormented. And when somebody is tormented by a demon, they don't have the ability to fast and pray. And here this goes to those of you who have spouses and children that are out there, tormented by Satan. Don't give up. Don't give up. My Bible says that the fervent prayers of a righteous person, verse 9. For also I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go. And he goes. And another to another, come. And he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he does. Now he is saying, because I have authority, I can tell whatever I want to tell to a soldier, and he will do. And to a servant, he will do. He understood his position of authority. We're together so far, right? Now, when you have strong faith, you are in the position of authority to speak to the demon, go. Y'all didn't listen. You are under the position to speak to a demon, to a sickness, go. In Jesus' name, and it will go. What about come? Salvation come upon your life. Healing come upon your life. Deliverance come upon your life. Can I do that? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, verse 10 is the killing verse. Watch this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Not even in Israel. So what was called great faith here? The ability of this man to believe on behalf of his servant. He believed not only for the healing, he believed also for the deliverance. Are you with me here? Now let's make it interesting. Let's go back, start all over again on 5, and we're going to go straight through on the New Living Translation. Watch this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. Are we still together here? Now, let's go back to verse 5. This time, give me the message right now. I just want to show you all the angles here so you can understand what the great faith is all about. And Jesus entered the village of Capernaum. A Roman captain came up in a panic and said, how did the man come in? Before you meet Jesus, when life gets tough, you always panic. Isn't that right? Thank God that in the panic time, you went to the right source. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That right? Just start somebody say, don't panic. Go to Jesus. Verse 6. Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk and he's in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Oh no, said the captain. I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give order and my servant will be fine. You know, it's time for you just to reach out to somebody and say, at Jesus' order, your family member will be fine. Verse 9. I am a man who takes orders and give orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it. Taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. The very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works. What is great faith? The ability to believe for someone else's healing and deliverance. How does that work for me? If there's a family member in your family that is not doing well with God, don't give up. Yeah. At Jesus' word, they will come.
Yes. Hallelujah.
There's no other way. You know, my second sister used to say, I will never be a Christian. I look at her and I laugh. I said, you don't have a choice. Yes, I do. You don't. Yes, I do. You don't. What do you mean you don't? I said, I'm the firstborn. I am the saved one. And I will overrule your thoughts. You cannot do that. We'll see. They may reject your love. They may despise your words. But they are powerless against your prayers. My sister was the last one. The second sister was the last one to come to Jesus. 2 years later she died. And she died in the Lord. I have only one brother left. And every time I see him, say, you ready to come? Oh, be quiet. You don't have a choice, you know, because I believe that God will save him. He doesn't have a say on this. Does that mean you have great faith? Call it if you will. But God said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household will be saved. End of story. You don't want to come? You will come. What is by love or by pain? You will come. Voluntarily or involuntarily, you will come. I told my brother one time, if it takes a tractor trailer to hit you and break you in 57 pieces, it will happen, but you will come. What is free will? Well, I'm overriding their free will on this. They ain't thinking straight because they are oppressed by the devil. And they can't think straight. Well, give me another example of great faith. I'll give you another example of great faith. Let's go now real quick to Matthew 15:21. We're going to go through. We saw that great faith was believing for a servant, right? Nobody related to you. It's your servant, and God can still heal it. Now, number two, Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. my daughter is severely. Wow. Did you notice that she had asked mercy upon her? Not upon the daughter. Why? Because the daughter was part of her. The daughter came out of her. The daughter belonged on the family circle. What are you saying? You can pray for your daughter that is demon-possessed, and she will be set free. Amen. You can pray for your son that is demon-possessed, and he will be set free. What about my husband? You can pray for him too, because he's part of your immediate family circle. Listen to the next scripture, 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciple came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help. You know, sometimes it's a tough call. Why? Who is to say how did that girl get demon possessed? You know? And especially in today's world, children are so stupid. They are. When a child comes to challenge their parents, it's plain stupidity. I always say, at the day that you don't need a parent anymore, God will take them home. While your parents are alive, you need their counseling. And how many times kids get out to go watch horror movie? How idiotic and stupid is this? And then they come home and they're all shaking. They're all afraid. They're all scared. Now they don't want to sleep with the lights off. And all the garbage and nonsense that comes with it. I know a fellow, a young fellow. He wants to marry this chick. And the parents say, don't do it. But I'm in love. No, you're not in love. Preacher, can you talk to this boy? What do I got to do with this? You're the preacher. And you say, yeah, but he ain't my sheep. I still went and talked to the boy. Preacher, you don't understand. You're just like my parents. I'm in love. So no, you're not. You are attracted. What? You are attracted. I'm in love. No, you're not. Love comes with knowledge. You met this chick 3 weeks ago. You're in love. That's stupidity. Get away from this. He would not listen. He married a woman 3 months later. You know how many phone calls I have got from this boy? Please pray for me. Life is so miserable. Why should I pray for you? What happened to love? I just had an attraction. Why didn't you listen? I don't know. What you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying here is this. Sometimes it's tough. This woman come and tell Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed. And the Bible said that Jesus didn't say anything. Why? Why didn't he answer her? Let's see if she means really what she says. You know? Somebody can come to church and make all that show, all that talk. They don't really mean that. So, well, let's see if she means what she says. And Jesus goes on and said, I didn't come to anybody else but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She didn't give up. You know why? Because she loved her daughter. Did we read 25? Then she came and worshipped. You want to scare the demons out of your children? Start worshiping the King. You want to scare the demons out of the kids? Start worshiping. You're at home and you have the demon-possessed kid. Praise him with the cymbal. Praise him with the song. Crank up the worship home. Huh? Demons cannot worship. They can't worship. You know, they don't know how to worship. That's going to be pierced in their ears. Yeah. They got to go. She worshiped the King. And she said, Lord, please help me. Listen to verse 26. Watch this. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs, my Lord. Sometimes I said, Lord, you're kind of harsh. In today's society, they would have sued Jesus for discrimination. But you know, when you need a miracle, it don't matter when people call you a dog. You want your miracle. You know what you want. If people say that you're ugly or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm here for my miracle, not for what people says about me. Plain and simple. This is where people say healing is the children's bread. Y'all remember? That's the scripture that is used to do that. Then he goes on to say, yes, Lord. Yet, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You know how this is called? Humility. In order for you to get your miracle, you better just come down from your high horse. Humility will go a long way with God. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman. So what is a great faith? The ability to believe for a demon-possessed family member. Great faith is the ability not to give up when the first request is made and is not answered. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying here this morning? Let it be to you as your desire. Y'all not listen to this. Rub somebody and say, your desire will come through and you have a great faith. And her daughter was? When? Are y'all getting here? Does anybody here has family member not in the faith yet? Put your high, great faith into high gear. Because God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Did anybody see what I said? Did anybody hear? God is going to do it. I want to take you now to a different scripture than what you have there, Brother Harry. Luke chapter 8. Let's go to verse 41 and verse 42. Luke 8:41. Another example of great faith. Luke 8, verse 41 and 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. Did y'all know that Christians, preachers' children also get sick? Y'all know that? And they die too. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. You know how that is called? Humility. I'll say it again. Humility will go long ways with God. And the Bible says, he says, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was. Did you know that your prayer can bring your dead child back? Did you know that your prayers, your great faith, can bring your child from the spiritual death that they may be going through? And the Bible says, but he, as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now watch this on the New Living Translation. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. Now, the Message Bible, watch this. A man came up, Jairus by name. He was president of the meeting place. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his home because his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, was dying. Jesus went with him, making his way through the pushing, jostling crowd. Now let's pick up on verse 49. Let's pick up on verse 49 and we'll go three verses down there. While he was still talking to the woman that had the flux of blood, someone from the Jairus' house came up and told him, "Your daughter died. No need now to bother the teacher." Now, when he left home, the girl was sick. Now she's dead. Many people will give up right there. She's dead. The ordinary folks said, "Don't bother about it." Now, listen to the New Living Translation. While he was still speaking to her, the woman with the issue of blood, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher." Now listen to the next verse. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Just two things Jesus called here. Number one, get rid of fear. Get rid of fear. And then, have faith. Next verse tells us something very interesting. When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. Why? Some stuff is not for everybody to get in. Why not? I mean, wouldn't God be glorified? No, he won't. If I were to read the whole scripture here, it will say that when Jesus got in, people were weeping, and then they start crying when he said, "She's not dead." Watch. Let's go further. Verse 52. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." 53. Look at that. The crowd... This comes to show you the hypocrisy of mankind. They knew that the girl had been dead, right? And they're all weeping. And when the Son of God comes and said, "Don't cry. She's only sleeping," they start laughing. How in the world are you weeping and now you start laughing at the same time? That shows you the hypocrisy of mankind. In other words, they were actors. We call it crocodile tears. This is why Jesus did not allow anybody to get in that room but the parents and Peter, James, and John. Verse 54, watch this. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice. What did he say? How many of you have dedicated your children to God when they were born? So you know whose children they are now? This is why you don't have to worry about. You got to have faith and pray for your children. Because you are the steward raising up God's child. If parents would have wisdom, the last thing that they would do in their lives is turn on the TV so that the kids can be in front of the TV. Whew, I got to have some rest here. You may be setting up your children for failure and setting up yourself for some long, tedious, painful time of prayer and fast for that very child that you're neglecting right now because you're tired. And you're letting the devil fill up their heads with all the garbage that is on television today. You know, everybody knows Brother Mike Yeager, Dr. Mike Yeager. And one thing I admire about that man is the great faith. One time we were talking, he says, all his children, when they were born, they were dedicated to God. And what he would do? During the day, he has Bible songs playing on the cassette the whole day. And at one time on the day, the scriptures start being playing on the background. When they were eating, the scriptures is playing on the background. When they went to bed, the cassette player used to play, and then they had the repeat, and it kept repeating throughout the night. Today, all his children know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation back and forth, and they can recite it. Four kids. The second one is married, and he married virgin. The older one that's 31 years old is still virgin, still waiting on God. The 24 years old daughter, still virgin, still waiting on God, in no hurry to get married. And so is the third boy. The children that God gave you is not yours. Especially if you dedicate that child to God, they belong to God. So when they are going through difficult times in life, it's time for you to raise up to the task, you know. Sometimes you have to use the belt. Call it easy. You know, get one that is twice thicker than this. Pure leather, you know, the raw leather. That's the good one. He's going to call the cop. You get out anyway. And when you get out, whip them twice for calling the cops. Folks, once you dedicate that child to God, they belong to God. And God is as much interested on your child as you are. God loves that child as much as you do. So what do I do? Have great faith, the power to stand on the gap for that demon-possessed child, for that dead child, for that paralyzed child. And back off and watch what God will do. I think we have one more verse there, don't we? And at that moment, what happened? Her life returned. And she immediately stood up. Don't give them TV. Give them God's word to eat. So that they won't starve to death. So what's the conclusion, preacher? Great faith is the ability. I'll say it again. Great faith is the ability to believe for someone else's healing, deliverance, salvation due to sickness or distance. And I believe that you have great faith. Don't give up on your child. Don't give up on your spouse. You may have to use a 2x4 to get some senses into them. But never give up praying. Never give up interceding. Because the very reason that they are in the world could be the fact that they have starved to death in their spiritual walk. I'm going to wrap up reading again with you on the Message Bible, Matthew 15, starting on verse 21 through 28. I want to show you on the Message Bible. And with this, I'm closing the sermon. Next week, we're going to continue with healing faith. Matthew 15. We're going to start on verse 21. And we will use the Message Bible. You have 520. 1521. I want you to read it with me. From there, Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. They had hardly arrived when a Canaanite woman came down from the hills and pleaded, "Mercy, Master, son of David, my daughter is cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit." Jesus ignored her, The disciples came and complained. Now she's bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy. Some church people. Jesus refused, telling them, I've got my hands full dealing with the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman came back to Jesus, went to her knees and begged, Master, help me. He said, it's not right to take the bread out of the children's mouth. She was quick. You're right, Master. But beggar dogs do get scrap from the master's table. Jesus gave in. Oh, woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Right then, her daughter became well. Reach out to your neighbor and say, your faith is something else. What you want is what you're going to get today. In the name of Jesus. Stand on your feet. I want you to pray with me. Lord Jesus,
I
know I have great faith.
Help me now
to activate
my great faith.
I want to stand back
and let you take the control.
Not only save my family members,
but to deliver them too
from evil spirits' affliction.
I'm believing for their salvation,
their healing,
and their spiritual restoration.
Lord Jesus.
I know you can do it.
And I believe it.
So I'm standing on your word.
And I thank you
for the healing,
for the salvation,
and for the deliverance
of my loved ones.
In your name,
amen.
You may be seated. Brother David.
As our ushers get ready for our remembrance of the Lord's Supper, Harry, would you please put Luke 22:19 up? And I would just like to tell everyone that I was really touched by what Pastor Paul shared with us, and I wrote some things down. I'd like to share them with you. Because I was impressed by what he said. I said, David, you need to do it. So I'm going to start doing it. And here's some of the things that I'm going to do. I'm going to say it. Deliverance, come upon my life. Debt, be gone from my life. Building, arise from the ground. I'm not talking about that building. Actually, a building that I want to build at my house. That building, too. But you get the point. Basement, be clean and tidy to serve me. Fellowship, arise in my soul towards the other believers, including and especially my wife. Wisdom, arise in my soul that the interrelationships in my life will become mature and satisfying. You can take this wherever you want to go. You get the idea. We have to talk to it. Jesus, the Lord God did in the beginning. In the beginning, God said, hey, let there be a heavens and the earth. And it was so. Get served. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He instructed us to do it. So that's what we're going to do. Harry, can you do that for me? First Thessalonians 5. We'll start in the middle because I don't want to draw this out, take too much time. But right in the middle there, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Let's remember, his body was broken. Wrong scripture. 13. I'm sure glad God has a sense of humor. 19:13, Harry. Amen. Take, drink. Let us remember. Pass your cups towards the center, and our ushers will take your cups. Here you go, Rob. Thanks. Thomas, are we going to do two offerings? Yes? We'll have two offerings today, one for the regular needs of the church and one for the building fund.
Sing a song.
Stretch forth your hands to the offering. Father, we're very grateful to stand in your presence. We thank you for how you've blessed us this day, the days of this week, of this month, that we are able to bring our offering to you. Father, please bless it and multiply it toward your people. Please bless them abundantly, Father, and let them know that you did it, that it was not their hand that brought this, but you gave us the power to get wealth. Amen. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your abundant blessings. We're going to take another offering for the building fund. Don't forget, tonight we're going to meet back here at 7 o'clock for our evening service. Also in here, our little announcements for the first and third Saturday of each month. Don't forget our men's meeting at 8 a.m. It's fun. We have fun. The men get together. They study God's word. And then right after that, at what time, Sister Marcia? 9:30, the women get together on every Saturday. Isn't that right? Every Saturday, the women get together in here for prayer. And are we still doing the children? Is that in here? There it is, Saturdays. Every Saturday at 11 a.m., Shabbat school, right here. And I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks from now, on March 12th, on Tuesday, in the morning, for our wonderful Thurman Scribner. He's going to do healing school and teach us all a little bit more about healing. And we should expect this. And we should expect miracles. Expect miracles every day. Amen? So he'll be with us Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. At 7 p.m., Thurman Scribner will be here for our healing school. Don't forget Tuesday morning, 10:30, how to keep your healing service. And this is what we've got. Church, join me, please. Father, once again, we thank you for your abundance. We thank you that you shine your face in your heart, your life, your glory down upon us, because you love us. You're our people. You started this, Lord. Father, we're trusting you to continue it and to finish it until the day of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we got a couple of birthdays that I'd like to mention here on the... Get out of the way, Tom says. We have Dion Akonkwo. Did I get it right? We have... God bless you. We have Anne-Marie Raphael. Is she here with us? No. And Blessing Uwakwe. Is Blessing here? Is she here, Peter? She didn't get a chance to come? All right. Happy birthday, you guys. Let's give them a big kiss. Okay. That's great. Well, have we got anything else, or... Pastor Paul, would you like to bless these people? There you are. I knew you were around somewhere.
Praise God. I think I have a testimony coming up here. Maybe two. Come on, woman in the back.
Hallelujah. Just a quick announcement. Tonight I'll be praying after service, and anybody that wants to join me, you are welcome. We're going to be praying for a couple hours. And tomorrow morning I will be here praying. I would say 9:30. Anybody wants to come, join me. If you don't go to work tomorrow, if you have a free day, come and let us be in God's presence. It's pain to pray. It's wonderful to see the results of your prayer just unfold before your eyes. We see the mountains go. Never give up praying. Never give up praying. And so I'll be here praying tonight and tomorrow morning until noontime. Don't come afternoon, because I'm not going to be here. You can pray by yourself. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I have a testimony to give, and it goes ties together with today's sermon. I was working Friday, work in the office, and when I was done working, I locked up the place and I left. As I was walking out, I usually walk around to avoid the mud. Well, this time I decided to walk straight ahead. I was in a hurry, and I stepped on the mud, but I slipped. And when I slipped, I broke my fall, but I banged the front of my right foot really bad. I was in excruciating pain. My feet started to swell up, and I was limping to my car. And as I was driving, the Lord told me, put your faith to work. And that was all I needed. So I started quoting scripture. I said, Lord, you said in your word that you bore all our sickness and healed all our diseases, and by your stripes I am healed. Thank you for your healing. And then after that, after I said that, I just felt like Pastor says, a holy anger just came upon me. And I said, the word says that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and Jesus resides in me. That means pain, you cannot stay. Yes. And then I said that, I also said, and I was speaking really loud, I said that I sit in heavenly places with my Lord. And when you sit in heavenly places with your Lord, there is no sickness or pain. It can't be there because it's only holy ground. So I said, pain, you cannot stay. And that was it. And then I said, it is written that in the scripture, it says that God has given me authority over you. You cannot stay. And as I was quoting the scriptures, the pain slowly started going. And then I said, no, all of you at once, go now. And just like that, bam. Just like that, literally. When I said all of you go once, not little by little, all the pain was gone. Gone, gone, gone. Everything was gone. And I looked down at my feet. I was at a light, and it was still a little bit swollen. And I said, Lord, I thank you for your healing. I thank you that you have given us power over the enemy. And I thank you that you have healed my foot, and that includes the pain. And by the time I got home, the swelling was gone. The bruise was gone, and my feet was just fine.
Praise God. Is God God or what? Shall we stand? Tell your neighbor your miracle is on the way. Don't give up. Let's get ready that Brother Scriven is coming within a week or two, and we're going to have some fun. Amen? Amen? Our beautiful windows already arrived. It's inside. And they are absolutely gorgeous. The Lord willing, this coming week, by the end of the week, we're going to have already a hole on the walls, and they're going to start to be placed. God is working, folks. By faith, we call this building into existence. Brother Joe Chernoff, that was here last 2 weeks ago, just contacted me and said he's ready to come back, either in May or in June. So we're going to have some more fun. Amen. Receive the benediction. Yivarech echa Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Shalom. Go in peace.
extra. Maybe what's his name? What's it? Benny. Did he give up playing, I guess, because of the sound or what? We need designated places because they're always taking my seat.